From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Parents, students, alumni, and staff turned out for a public meeting March 28th to demand answers from the Cairo-Durham School Board about Superintendent Anthony Taibbi's sudden departure. The board earlier that same day announced Taibbi's last day with the district would be Friday, March 29th. Taibbi was an employee for the district for 12 years, first as the high school principal and then as superintendent. He was appointed to a three-year term as superintendent in 2015 and in October 2016 signed on to an extension of his contract through June 30, 2020. Effective July 1, 2018, he received an annual salary of just under $150,800. Taibbi is leaving the district to become the chief academic officer with Questar 3 BOCES. Douglas Kelly has been named interim superintendent. In addressing the crowd at the meeting, Taibbi said the decision to leave was his alone and that he was motivated to do, and I quote, what is best for my family and myself. I was not forced out, end quote. Asked by a Round Top resident if he was leaving because the district was not going to renew his contract, Taibbi declined to answer. Board of Education President Stephen Brandow said, and I quote, his contract wasn't up for a year and a half, end quote. According to that contract, the board was obligated to notify Taibbi before June 30th of this year if it planned to keep him in the district's top spot. In a related matter, attendees also objected to the recent removal of teacher Lori Miner as faculty advisor for the National Honor Society, a position she has held for 21 years. None of the board members offered an explanation for Miner's removal. All Brandow said was that the board acts on the recommendation of the superintendent, and Taibbi concurred. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting district caseworkers for U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado will host mobile office hours in April for constituents to meet with his staff and to get help with casework. Casework can include any type of support with federal services, from farmers applying for grants to seniors having issues with their Social Security benefits to veterans needing more information on VA services. Mobile office hours will be offered in Greene County on April 8th. Caseworkers will be available from 10 a.m. to noon at the Mountaintop Library in Tannersville and from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Cairo Public Library in Cairo. In Dutchess County, mobile office hours will be offered on April 15th, in Sullivan County on April 22nd, and in Rensselaer County on April 29th. Read the full list at delgado.house.gov. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union on what to expect now that tick season is here. Adult ticks that survived the winter will now begin to emerge from their cold weather homes. Experts cannot say for sure whether this year will be worse than last when it comes to the number of disease-carrying ticks crawling around, but most agree it does not really matter. Brian Backinson, Deputy Director for the State Department of Health's Bureau of Communicable Disease Control, said, and I quote, there will be infected ticks either way. We're never going to have a year with no ticks, so no matter what, people should take precautions because it only takes one tick bite to transmit disease, end quote. Richard Ostfeld, a disease ecologist at the Cary University of Ecosystem Studies in Dutchess County, forecasts tick populations by observing the number of white-footed mice out and about in summer. Ostfeld is predicting a moderate to low number of infected ticks in the Northeast this year compared to last. Deer ticks live in shady, moist areas at ground level and cling to tall grass, brush, and shrubs, usually no more than 18 to 24 inches off the ground. They also live in lawns and gardens, especially at the edges of woods and around old stone walls. Lyme remains the most common tick-borne disease statewide, followed by anaplasmosis and babesiosis. Read the full story in the Times Union. WJFF Radio Catskill has announced a partnership with Sullivan County BOCES Career and Technical Education Center in preparation for the construction of the station's new home. A team of students enrolled in the BOCES Construction Trades Program is responsible for the interior demolition and other work needed to transform the former Catskill Harvest Market site on Route 52 in Liberty into WJFF's new studio home. Another team of BOCES students, led by natural resource educator Sam Rogers, will work to mitigate exterior drainage issues in the area of the property that formerly contained the plant nursery. According to a statement released by WJFF General Manager Dan Rickney, and I quote, "For WJFF, having BOCES complete this part of the work provides a significant cost savings, as well as a welcome boost in getting the project off and running," end quote. The property, located on Route 52 across from the BOCES campus in the town of Liberty, was donated to the station 2 years ago. The station's Board of Trustees later voted to move its broadcast studios from Jefferson to Liberty. Talks are ongoing between the non-commercial broadcaster and BOCES on future collaborations. Read more at WJFFradio.org. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.